So we got a busy week, plenty of guests. We'll have Brian Myers in studio today, coming up at 1 o'clock. Talk some Mets with him. Obviously, he's going to promote the wrestling going on at UBS Arena coming Saturday night. Tomorrow, Damian Priest in studio. He was born in the Bronx, grew up a big Yankee fan, so we'll talk some Yanks and some wrestling with him. So we have some different stuff. And then obviously guests throughout the course of the week to talk about David Wright and what he's meant to the franchise. You have to check out the special from SNY. It'll air Thursday night, premiere Thursday night the right way. It's great, and it's been fun reliving, you know, me getting a chance to watch that early and then reading stuff. Vaccaro had an excellent column today in the New York Post about David Wright. I think Tony DeComo had him from MLB.com over the weekend as well. There's a lot that goes on with David Wright, you know, different stories, reliving it, and behind-the-scenes stuff. So it'll be a fun week leading up to his retirement, jersey retirement, on Saturday. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Matthew is calling from Edison. What's up, Matthew?
What's up, Sal? I'm a Yankee fan. I know they have holes. I know they're going through stuff, but I just don't understand how you said Giancarlo isn't a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I don't think he is, but that's just my opinion. I get that many people think he would be.
He has an MVP, 400 home runs. He's probably going to end up with 450, possibly 2,000 hits.
How about this? I'll make you a deal. He gets the five. He gets my approval.
All right. Well, my dad, he's old. Rizzuto's in there. He's better than Rizzuto.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's different, obviously.
All right. I hear you, boss.
Well, my question is, Matthew, like, A, why do you care if he's a Hall of Famer or not? And B, as a Yankee fan, you're happy with the trade? When you got
he didn't live up to it, but if he wasn't in New York, he'd be praised as a great forever with those numbers.
Well, I think a lot of people do view him as a great forever, and thank you for the call. I don't. I'm not a lot of people. By the way, I don't know if you want to go based on war. I probably wouldn't do that. I'm just looking at some of his numbers pre-Yankees. I mean, think about this with Giancarlo Stanton. This is actually remarkable. Giancarlo Stanton has had one season with the Yankees, one season that he has surpassed 100 RBI. Matter of fact, he's only had three in his career. That's a big, bad run producer, and you're going to tell me, well, he was with the Marlins, and they stunk. Okay, well, then what about the Yankees? His first season, 2018, his best season. He hit 266, 38 homers, 100 RBI. Played 158 games. Since then, been brutal. I'm sorry, been brutal. You hurt 2019, hurt 2020, even in the shortened season. 2021, he had 35-97. Okay, not bad. But, I mean, 35-97 is not quite 59-132. The Yankees got him after he won the MVP and had 59 homers and drove in 132 runs. They bought high on Giancarlo. That was by far his career best. Prior to that, he had a 37-105 year. And he was a beast, don't get me wrong. Was the key term here. The Yankees got him off a year where he had 59 homers, drove in 132 runs. Next year, he goes 38-100, not close to what he did, but still, you take it. Then in 2021, 35-97. 2022, in 110 games, 31 homers, 78 ribbies. Now, it's not my fault he only played 110 games. That's his fault. So if you do the math, like, yeah, he would have hit 40 homers at least if he played more, you would think, if he played another 50 games. Hey, he didn't play. Played 110 games. 2023, 24-60. 2024, 27-72. Like, that's, but not to mention the batting average. Stanton has not had an OPS over 9 with the Yankees. 2019, he had 894. If that's your thing. Like, by any measurement, the slugging the year before he came to the Yanks, 631. The year before he came to the Yankees traded for him on the heels of an MVP year. He slugged 631. You know what his highest since then has been with the Yankees? 516. Like, that is just, he's been nowhere near what he was supposed to get. Not to mention he can't run and doesn't have a position in the field. And he just can't stay healthy. We're at the All-Star break. He's got 4 home runs. Yeah, but Sal, he played 21 games. Yeah, that's part of the problem too. He's never healthy. Never available. And you think that's Hall of Fame? I'm sorry, I don't. Career-wise, if he gets to 500 homers, he will get in the Hall of Fame. He might get in anyway. I do not. Now, when I was watching him with the Marlins, and by the way, he's been an All-Star once with the Yankees. Once since 2018. And that year, he had 211 that year. I mean, that is just screaming all-star. I mean, with the Marlins, when I used to watch him, I thought for sure, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. This guy's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. For sure. You'd watch him and feel that. With the Yankees, I have not felt that once. I'm not trying to knock Stan. I'm just giving the reality. Bobby is in Ozone Park. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Bobby. How are you?
How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Listen, I'm going to be objective here, if you give me a minute. Now, a lot of people accuse you of being biased. I don't. You give your opinion, and then they can take it as they want it.
Sure.
But I will say one thing, though. For you to turn around and give the Mets an A, that's fine. That's fine. They've been through a lot. They've had a lot of injuries, a lot of pitching injuries. But you fail to mention how devastated the Yankee pitching staff has been.
No, I mentioned
they
that.
Lost Cole. They lost Cole. They lost Heal.
Yep.
They now lose Schmidt. They lost Stroman for a month and a half. Yarbrough was pitching great. They lost him. Wait a minute now. So we're going to say the Mets were devastated, but the Yankees were not?
No, the Yankees were hit hard by injury, but it was two different things. The Mets were hit hard with pitching to a point where they didn't have enough pitching going in, and they were ravaged in their pitching staff, and they had the best ERA, Bobby, for the majority of the first half in all of sport. That's a big difference. Yeah, the Yankees lost Gerrit Cole. They also have Max Fried right there, who's one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in the game. I mentioned it. I don't know what that would... Why does the Yankees' injuries have to factor in with the Mets' grade is what I'm confused. I gave the Yankees...
No, well, the thing is, but you have... But then again, then people not Cashman, right? So Cashman goes out and gets Fried. Mm-hmm. He goes out and he gets Devlin Williams. He goes out and gets Goldschmidt. He makes a... The heist of the century, getting Bellinger. They traded Petit for him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And yet, we talk. Maybe I look at it differently, Sal. I've been a Yankee fan since 68.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As a fan of any sport, Giants, Islanders, Yankees, all I ever ask for my team is that every year, give me a shot to win it all. And you know what? The Yankees do that.
Every year.
What more can you ask?
Well, I mean, you can only ask that they win it all. And that's the argument, Bobby. I never said otherwise. I mean, the Yankees are so... BT and I were fighting about this the other day, last week. I'm like, everything's still possible for the Yankees. I still think they're going to win the division, which means they're going to be in the playoffs, which means they're going to have a chance, just like they did a year ago, even though I didn't think they were particularly good last year, to get to the World Series. And they were good in the playoffs, or at least good enough to get to the World Series. Then we know what happened with the Dodgers, but the Yankees every single year, more often than not, for the last 30-plus years, every single year they give you a chance to win a World Series.
And that's all you can ever ask.
Well, then you're
sad. That's all you can ever ask, because once you're in, you got a shot.
I know, but then how come in all... The Yankees are also in more than everybody else, right? So the Yankees, like you said, all you could ask is that they get in every year and give a chance to win, which they do. Well, then how come they haven't broken through once?
Well, wait a minute. Since 1987, the Dodgers won one World Series.
I'm talking about since 2009.
No, I'm talking about generally speaking, right? I mean, the Dodgers, they win every year. They take away the
you can't take it away. They won it in 2020.
No. But what I'm saying, aside from last year, they played 38 years. They won one World Series.
Understood. But up until last year, the Yankees haven't even been to a World Series since 2009.
Well, wait a minute. I thought, though, the point was that you have to win it all, that if you make it, it don't mean anything.
Oh, no, but you're taking away when the Dodgers did win it. So if you're going to take
I don't take away.
Just said if you take away last year, and then you're going to put nitpick in the pandemic year, which, sure, it's a pandemic year, but the Yankees didn't win it.
I counted the pandemic year. Yeah, okay, I counted that.
I wouldn't, but the Yankees didn't win it. The Dodgers did. And the Dodgers.
But all I know is that.
And who spends more money, the Dodgers or the Yankees? Like, there's a lot. And Bobby, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying that I think you're being too lenient. There's a reason why the Yankees haven't gotten to a World Series prior to last year when they had Soto, which they no longer have, and haven't won one. And I believe it's a flaw in the way that they build their teams.
See, I don't know about that. I don't think that's fair.
That's a good argument.
I don't think that's fair. You say it's a flaw, but it's good enough to win the divisions. It's good enough to win rounds.
Right, and not good enough to win the World Series.
But wait a minute, though, Sal. There's a lot of great teams that are perfect that go into the World Series and lose.
It's not ideal. I know, but Bobby, that's one year that they got into the World Series and lost. The other years, they never got there, and thank you for the call. And by the way, it's a good debate. You sound like the Yankees would say. And that's fair. You can say that. It's a good argument. I just believe that there is a flaw fundamentally in the way that they build a team that has held them back in the postseason. Last year, it was able to be overcome because they had Juan Soto. We'll see this year. If they pitch the way that they're supposed to pitch and they get healthier with Luis Gil and hope that Luke Weaver can find himself in the bullpen and they'll add some arms, and they play defense the way that they're capable of playing defense. Now, I mean, that's going to take a lot from your shortstop, who's been a butcher this year. Or I shouldn't even say butcher. He's looked like a minor leaguer this year. He's not a butcher. He's just mentally, he's playing the game like a minor leaguer. And that can't happen. They have to figure out how to maximize their offensive output with their lineup, but yet maximize the best defensive team they have as well. They're still trying to figure that out. But they can win the World Series. They just got to go out there and do it. Prove me wrong. I believe there's a fundamental flaw with the launch angle, with the not valuing defense, with the lack of valuing strikeouts. Don't care if a guy strikes out a ton. All about the power, 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 which looks great when you're bludgeoning teams in the regular season. Then when things get tight in the postseason, you can't manufacture a run. And I'm not talking about bunt. I'm talking about put the ball in play. Play the game. Play baseball. Put the ball in play. Make the defense do something. Now, the Yankees have started to go in that direction. I don't know if they're fully there yet. But that, to me, for years, those years from, say, 2017 prior to last year, or even last year if you want to count it, but last year, obviously, they made the World Series. Those years, to me, the Yankees just did not build the team the right way. Wasn't enough balance, whether it be with the defense, the offense, whatever it may be. Not enough balance in the lineup, lefty-righty. And not enough balance with home run versus contact guys. The BT and Sal Show on the Fan, presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Speaking of the Mets, Rich is in Jim Thorpe, PA. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. By the way, right now I think the Mets are a better chance to get to the World Series than the Yankees. But I got a couple of keys for the Mets to get that far. They got to get healthier in the bullpen.
What makes you think that they have a better chance than the Yankees to get there?
First of all, I'm going to say this. The National League, to me, is a much better league than the American League. Much better. I think the Mets, with the Phillies, the Braves, they got to go through the National League. It's a better league overall than the American League. I would say the National League should be favored to win the World Series no matter who gets there.
That's right, but wouldn't that make it more difficult for the Mets to get through to get to a World Series?
Exactly. That's why I want to give you a couple of keys as to maybe how we can get past the tougher teams. Now, in the bullpen, you know, everybody wants bullpen help. I don't know about Nunez, but Budo's got to get healthy. I think Brooks Raley, now he's a key. He's a good left-hand pitcher, and he's getting healthy. I think they're going to bring him up, and he's going to help. DH, Marte and Winker, they're hurt, but they got to come back, and I think that's going to be fine. The big key to me is Vientos and Alvarez. Alvarez is going to come back. He's got to hit. He's got to play better defense. Vientos looks like he's coming around a little bit. If we don't get much out of them, then I don't think we can get to the World Series.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead. Let me ask you this about getting an arm for the bullpen, too. What about Aroldis Chapman?
Yeah, he was a guy that was born up. But here's the problem, though, Rich. The Red Sox have won 10 straight, and thank you for the call. Good stuff there. The Red Sox have won 10 straight. I'm not so sure they're going to be selling off pieces anymore, whether that's Duran, whether it's Chapman. I'm not sure what they're going to do. We're going to find out here. The baseball deadline, obviously trade deadline coming up, July 31st. So you got 2 weeks. 2 weeks to decide who's going to be sellers, who's going to be, maybe a little over 2 weeks, I guess. Although, no, because this week they're not going to play a game until Friday. So you talk about 2 weeks of games. Where are we at? This is Monday the 14th. So this week, and you got basically 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, I mean, just over, 10 or so games, about two weeks of game action before the trade deadline. So I'm sure teams are trying to figure it out, but as far as the Red Sox go, you got to believe they're going to be buyers, if anything. Can't be selling off. You know, the thought was after Devers, they're folding. Well, they've won 10 straight. They're on the heels of the Yankees in the American League East and just three games back of the Blue Jays. Now, that doesn't sound like selling to me, but I would love Aroldis Chapman. I think the Mets need definitively. See, the Yankees need bullpen arms. The Mets need a top-notch bullpen arm. The Yankees have that with Williams and Weaver. Weaver, at his best, is a top-notch, high-leverage reliever. The Mets don't have a second high-leverage reliever right now behind Edwin Diaz. Maybe Raley could be that. They need one, no doubt about it, stud. Whereas I think the Yankees could benefit from it, no doubt about it, stuff, but also just need a couple of legit bullpen arms. Doesn't have to be the top guy out of the pen, on the market out of the pen. And I do think your point about Vientos and Alvarez is a good one. Alvarez raking in the minor leagues. Vientos starting to get going a little bit going into the break. But can you trust those guys? You're going to rely on those guys ultimately? I think it comes down to more making sure Nimmo continues to do what he's done and Soto producing with runners in scoring position. Now, obviously, Vientos and Alvarez can help lengthen that lineup out. Maybe the Mets need another bat, whether they feel like in center field or DH. They do need a center fielder. I don't know if I would trust the DH spot as much as you do with Winker and Marte. A, they're hurt. B, they're not that good when they're healthy. But the Mets are in a good spot right now. Joe, so are the Yankees. Joe is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Joe?
I couldn't agree with you more. But in terms of Stanton being an abject failure, right? I mean, that killed the 2017 Yankees. We needed a lefty bat and an ace, and we went and traded for Stanton. Oh. I don't even care what we gave up.
Yeah, you're right, because the thought, Joe, was that they gave up nothing. It doesn't matter. They didn't need that. You just nailed it. They needed an ace and a lefty bat, and they chose Stanton.
That's number one. Number two, I don't think that, as much as I would love for them to trade for Garcia from the Royals, I don't think they would, because, you know, he had that issue with Volpe in the playoffs and then that issue with Jazz this year, right? At third base with, you know, when Jazz slid into third base.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, I don't know if they would let that get in their way, but I would if I'm the Yankees. Just, and again, I don't even know if he's available. He's just one player that caught my attention this week, watching him with the Mets when the Mets are taking on the Royals for three, and also that he got named to the All-Star team. That's the type of, again, not just because he's an All-Star, but because he hits 300 and plays good defense. That's what I want, as opposed to the guy who hits 20 or 30 homers and strikes out a ton.
Listen, I agree wholeheartedly, and you're spot on with, you know, the flaws, right? You know, how many years did we watch all right-handed batters playing at the Bronx, right? I mean, how ridiculous was that? But I would go after IKF. I would go after Ahmed Rosario. You wouldn't have to give up much for either of those two, and they're exactly what you need, a solid fielding third baseman that hits about 280 with contact and gives you a little pop here and there that doesn't really, they really don't strike out. But you're right on. I mean, and as a Yankee fan, it pains me to admit it, but you're spot on.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't, Joe, and thank you for the call. Look, we're adults here, are we not? Come on. This is not a me Mets versus you Yankees. I hate that, as a matter of fact. Both teams equally. It's the same thing. Like, sometimes BT and I will poke fun at each other. Yeah, he's a Yankee fan. I'm a Mets fan, so you lean into it a little bit more because you're doing a show with a Yankee fan. Fine, but believe me, I don't care. This is not, if this were 2000, be a different story. It's 25 years ago. I've grown up somewhat. So it shouldn't pain you to admit it that we agree. Now, where I would disagree is I wouldn't want Rosario if I'm the Yanks. I guess I'd be open to IKF. I don't know. Similar with Cedric Mullins, where I was like, yeah, the Mets just need a proven veteran in center field, and Mullins would fit that bill. I don't know if I don't think it's enough for me. Same thing with IKF. Like, it sounds great, but I don't know. Been there, done that. That's going to be the move. Maybe. I feel like you know, it's got to be bigger than IKF, no? Might as well just stick with Peraza. You know, I mentioned I was drinking Surfsides by the pool all weekend. What I didn't mention, and I'm going to do it here, is that there was a bit of an issue Saturday morning. So normally, you know, during the summer, we'll have some people over, my wife and I, whatever, get to clean the pool Saturday morning. I'm working all week, so I don't really have a chance to do that. So Saturday morning, get up nice and early, go out back, get the pool ready. You know, guests are coming over, you want to get the backyard ready, whatever. And I'm in the process of doing that. Got the little robot going, put some music on. All right, cleaning out the back table, making sure there's air in the floats, all this stuff. And then I had to go to the pool store, make sure the water is good, all that. And I'm having a nice little morning, nice normal Saturday morning. Now, if you remember, BT and I last week were talking about bears and wildlife. I don't even know how it was a report. There's always a report in Jersey. Since I moved to Jersey, it's like every thing in my news feed that comes up about Jersey is about a bear on the loose. Oh, black bear spotted in, you know, Fort Lee, whatever. I don't know, pick a town. Not even familiar with it. Fairlawn, Fairview, whatever. Somewhere in Jersey that's roughly in the same vicinity of where I live. I don't want to see no bear. And then we were talking about other stuff, and I feel like it was bad karma because we were talking about it that was put on me because something happened that I was not anticipating. And it was not my wife yelling at me because I anticipated that. You know, I went to go get her a different float. She's like, hey, where's the one with the shade on it? She needs a... I'm like, yeah, that one's got a hole in it. So I went and got her another one. But then I felt guilty. So I went to the little, like, pool shed area to get my wife's float and blow it up. Happy dad out there. You know, Maddox running around. Sammy, my daughter Sammy. My dog Maddox, you know, running around playing. Oh, people coming over. Daddy's getting the pool ready. And I go to the pool shed. And I look to the left, and I don't know why, but in the rocks, there seemed to be something that, I don't know how it caught my eye. You know, like sometimes in the house, you just happen to see the spider. Like, oh, this huge wall and ceiling, and yet I see like this little spider caught my eye. Man, good thing I saw it, otherwise it would have been running around and crawling over the place. How the hell did that happen? Who knows? Something caught my eye to the left of the, like it wasn't by the door. And I'm like, what the hell is that? What is that, a hose or something over there? That's what it looked like. A little hose. Man, I don't remember putting a black hose over here. And then I saw the head, and it was a snake. And I did what any normal functioning human being would do. I called the cops. Oh my God, a snake. What? I can't believe that there's a snake here. I panicked. I freaked out. I didn't even take a picture. You're all about the gram. I'm all about getting the hell out of there. Oh, what is this? I don't want to live here anymore. Burn it down. So I went and told my wife, and she comes out like, where, what are you talking about? She comes and snaps a picture of it. I couldn't get with it. I'm not even going near the damn thing. And now you're probably saying, well, Sal, call the cops. What are you, an idiot? Well, the reason why I called the cops, if you must know, is because that's what Google said to do. I went to Google, and it said animal control, and when you call animal control, they said it's on the weekends, and if it's the weekend hours, you got to call the police. So now here I am, an adult male, calling the cops, knowing exactly what was going to be on the other side, but I'm just following directions here. Hi, yeah, it's not an emergency, but, you know, there's a snake in my backyard. Okay, do you know what kind? No, I don't know what kind it is. It's back in the rocks or whatever. All right, there's probably nothing we could do about it, but let me call animal control. And then animal control calls me back, so at least the cops got the animal control people to call me back because I just want the thing out of here. I can't survive. I don't want to go in the pool. No, I don't even want to walk in the backyard. I'm get the dog out of here. Get Sammy. Get out of here. My wife's taking pictures of it. This is great. Oh, did you scream? Yeah, I screamed. It's a black snake. Call me out of nowhere. Call me off guard. And then animal control calls, and they sounded exactly like you would think an animal control worker would sound. Yeah, there's, you know, some lady. Yeah, it's, don't worry about it. It's probably a garter snake. Not a big deal. Oh, it was in the rocks near the pool. They just, that's where they live. It'll go away. Don't worry. Just leave it alone. You leave it alone, it'll leave you alone. And I'm like, what do you mean? Does it ever go in the house? Man, only on rare, very, very rare to happen. What about the pool? Does it go swimming in the pool? Nah, usually, maybe by accident in the pool. This is not encouraging. And then after I calmed down, well, she couldn't do anything for me, not only because it's off hours, just because they can't do it. Then I texted my buddy Matt at Ghost Pest Control. That's who we use, you know, to exterminate the house and whatever, the bugs and what. And Matt's like, I usually don't mess with snakes, but you know what? I'll come over and not that they just, you know, really not much you could do with it. But he's like, I'll come over, try to get the thing in a bucket and get it the hell out of there. And then he comes over and he's sticking it with the, now Matt, I got to give Matt some credit here. Because I'm behind the fence still. There's like a fence around the pool for the kid, you know, for the babies. Another, you know, had to put that up because safety reasons. So I'm behind this fence, like that's going to do anything, but I'm behind the fence. Matt's on the other side of it. And this guy, he's slithering in the rocks right with the snake. Like he's trying to get down there. He's digging, moving the rocks, looking, poking the pole, slithering on the ground, trying to find the thing. Go eye to eye with the snake. I'm like, God bless you, dude. I can't. How are you even doing that? Well, I'm going to run the other way. Unfortunately, the snake slithered his way underneath the pool shed. And while Matt gave a valiant effort and tried and moved the rocks and was looking for him. I'm like, dude, he's under the shed, like, and you're just going to go in there blindly not knowing when he's going to pop out? He didn't care. This Matt, Ghost Pest Control, didn't care. Slithering right along. And he's like, all right, look, nothing's going to happen. Mentally, I know it's difficult. the snake, he's going to be scared. He's probably going to stay under there. I'll come back during the week, go get some snake repellent or whatever, and we'll take care of it. Try to enjoy the day in the pool. So I did. And you know how? Surfside. Plenty of surfside to try to take my mind off of that damn snake. But it's still, that's one of those things where you see a snake, there's no avoiding that. It's mentally now in my head to where I walk around the pool and trying to, like, had to put away the robot before the people came. I was like, open the door as quickly as I could, threw the damn robot in there. I don't care if it breaks or not. I shut the door, ran the hell out of there. The floats, usually I put them away in the pool house. I'm not touching them. They could sit there all week until Matt comes with the repellent and make sure that thing's out of here. You can't unsee that. I turn the corner in my house. I'm looking for a snake. Downstairs bathroom. No thanks. I'll go upstairs. I can't stop seeing snakes now. And then I post a picture of, course, all the tough guys out there. Ooh, can't handle it. I don't want to see a snake. Hey, if you're such a man about it, I'll give you my address. Come over and get the thing out of here. Snake. No, I will say, Hoff, it was better seeing a snake than a bear, I guess. Because at least with a snake, there's time to think, there's time to run, there's people to call. With a bear, I would have been screwed.
No, I mean, but snakes are faster than bears, aren't they?
Yeah. You can see when Matt was trying to get him and the thing was moving. Ugh.
Yeah, I have no patience for snakes. And they come out of so many different crevices. Like, bears, you could see them a mile away.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. When they sneak up on you like that, those little, well, they're not critters, right?
Reptiles.
Yeah, reptiles.
They have legs or no?
No, come on, man.
Well, I'm saying, like, are they a reptile if they have legs?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm not sure. But, like, you don't think
yes,
that I checked...
Yes, they're a reptile with or without legs.
You don't think that I checked that pool, like, 15 times, making sure there's no... Yeah.
Did Matt tell you what kind of snake it was?
Yeah, I think he said... Now, I always thought it was garden snake. But it's not garden snake, it's garter snake, right?
Correct, correct.
Okay, so when I was a kid on Long Island, I remember having a couple of run-ins with one of these little baby snakes. Like, I was running to get the mail one day barefoot, and I stepped right in front of it. And I, you know, screamed and panicked. Oh, my God. Never again walked outside barefoot. But I remember a little black garter snake, but it was a baby one. This was not a baby one. This looked huge. Although, curled up, coiled up, he looked pretty big. I don't want to deal with snakes, man. What is going on in Jersey? Bears, snakes, fox. I think I'm going to go back to Long Island.
You just blew my mind.
What?
I didn't think it was a garden snake either. I thought it was a gardener snake.
No, yeah, that's what I thought. My wife's saying the same thing. Oh, was it a garden snake? I'm like, no. It's a garter. And then I tried to be all smart. Meanwhile, I just Googled it. I'm like, no. It's not a garden snake, you fool. It's garter. And you think you're smarter than I am. Garter snake. Also, people were tweeting me about it. It's a garter snake. No, so it's not garden snake, garter snake. What the hell that means, I have no idea.
It means it wasn't dangerous.
Yes, it means it's not dangerous. And then the lady, the animal control lady, I'm like, well, does it bite? What about my dog? She's like, well, if you attack it, yeah, it's going to. If you go at it, it's going to bite you. And Matt comes over, he just gets right in there. Can you imagine slithering on the ground with that thing, dip moving rocks with your hand, waiting for his head to pop out? Ooh, creepy. It's going to take a lot for me to get over this. I can't unsee that. And now I'm walking into my backyard every time, like, very cautiously and aware of everywhere I turn, looking in the rocks to see. You know, I don't want to just go out there and be like, you know, it's by where the pool stuff is, and you go clean the pool. I don't want to go back there without, you know, double-checking and triple-checking. I don't want this thing popping up on me. Gross. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Jay is calling from Miller Place. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks for making
it. Show.
What's up?
Hey, listen, just 2 points. I know Volpe's struggles have been well-documented throughout the season. Do you think there's any chance that in the second half they would bring up Lombardi and either put him down or do something?
You're talking about George Lombard Jr.? I'm not sure with that. I forget about who they'd bring up, right, because there's two separate things. Would they bring up Lombard and have him be an impact player, and would they send Volpe down? I don't know if the two would correlate. I'm not sure about Lombard, if he's ready or not. I wouldn't hold my breath on that for now, but again, I don't know. As far as the Volpe part, sending him down, I think that's more... And now, I don't think they're going to do it, but to me, if it continues like this, Jay, how do you not send him down?
You DFA'd LeMahieu, you're making changes, you're trying to say, hey, listen, we need to prioritize offense. Guys, and again, defensively, he's not there, right? To your point about consistency earlier in the show, you've got to be consistent 1 through 9, and he is just, you thought he was a leadoff hitter, he's not. You've got to be more consistent overall, so Boone's got to do something there.
Yeah, that's you nailed it, and thank you for the call, Jay. And I mean... You're going to hold other guys accountable, which you should. And this is not making a rash decision on Volpe. Here's what they're going to hope. They're going to hope that it corrects itself. And they're going to give it some time. I don't know how much time, because now they get the Red Sox breathing down their neck, and they're behind the Blue Jays. Now, that could change in a week, 2 weeks. Okay, sure. And maybe the more success that they have, the more time it buys them. But forget about his offense. Right now, I think if you're Boone or Cashman or the Yankees, and I know from a Yankee fan perspective, if it were me, I would sign right now to have Volpe hit ninth, let him do whatever offensively, struggle, whatever you get's a bonus, but I need him to play clean defense at short. It's not third base, not second base, not first base. He's a shortstop. And on a team that's trying to tighten things up and get to a World Series championship level, you're going to roll Volpe out there who's going back on routine ground balls, letting the ball play him? What? And that's just one instance. That, like, what he did yesterday, that's not a major league play. That's not a big league play. Errors happen. His bad throw in the dirt to Goldschmidt on the run, that happens. By the way, he's not even putting enough on a ball. There was a play earlier in the game that should have been a double play, and Volpe just kind of floated the ball over there. Like, there are little things right now. He's not even doing it the right way defensively, like at a big league level. Errors happen. Mistakes happen. What he's doing is more than just a mistake, a physical error. He's lost. So to answer the question, if it were me years ago, I would have, the first year where there was some struggles, I would have sent him down. They didn't. They stuck with it year two. They're sticking with it year three. I think at some point, they're going to have to send him down. Otherwise, you're going to live with this? Could cost you. Could cost you your season. Jeff is in Cranford, New Jersey. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Sal. We don't want you moving back to Long Island, but letting you know there's rattlesnakes and copperheads in New Jersey also, and they are poisonous.
No, dude. I don't want... What do you mean? Rattlesnakes and copperheads? I don't even know what that is. Rattlesnake I've heard of.
Copperheads, just as poisonous. It's more in northern New Jersey, up in the mountains. I'm not sure where you live, but
what's northern New Jersey? Give me the county. Morris County? I think that's where I am.
Yeah, you can find them in Morris County, Hunterton.
Do you do when you see them? Like, you just see these things and you're like, oh, yeah, whatever?
I was hiking out in Worthington State Park, and I almost stepped on a rattlesnake. And when you hear the rattles, that's when you get freaked out.
Yeah, you think? Well, I can't. Thank you for the call, Jeff, and for the insight. See, I can't blame the snake here. You were hiking. You were going into his house. You're going in. When you start hiking and you go in those mountains and woods and all that stuff, hey, all bets are off. You're entering his home. This guy was entering my home. I don't want to bother you. You don't bother me. I'm trying to go in the pool and enjoy a peaceful weekend. And I got to see this little thing there coiled up, in my mind, waiting to attack. But in reality, the lady, the animal controller, he's just looking for some sun. If he's still in the same spot, he's just looking for some sun. He's looking for some sun? I'm going to go elsewhere. Anybody else? You know, they don't tell you these things when you're buying the house. Oh, yeah, we've seen bear. We've seen snakes. A deer I can live with. Chipmunk, sure. Squirrels, I'm all for it. Even the fox, like, oh, okay. Saw one at night one time, driving home late at night. Not a big deal. Snakes? No, thank you. Cappy is calling from Mount Pleasant, New York. What's up, Cappy?
Hey, Sal. I'm sorry to go off topic for a second. Don't be mad at your screener. Mm-hmm. He was kind of, you know. But I thought it was interesting. I think your listeners will think this is interesting. When you brought up Giancarlo, and it came up twice, and you brought up the fact that he drove in 100 three times,
mm-hmm.
And this is the interesting thing. It's like a statistical quirk, in my opinion. Mickey Mantle drove in 100 runs four times. When I ask all my friends at trivia, they all guess 8, 9, 12, but he only did it four times. Much of the same reason as Giancarlo, because he was always hurt. But I just thought that was an interesting stat, that Mantle only drove in 100 four times.
Yeah, I'm just pulling it up now. 1, 2, 3. I mean, he drove in 100. Now, 130 runs in 1956.
Correct.
I mean, I guess. I mean, with Giancarlo, now, look, it is different from with Mantle. I don't know the exact numbers, and thank you for the call, Cappy. It is different where you're talking about the 50s and 60s versus 2025, or the last 10 years for Giancarlo, where scoring runs in today's day and age should be a lot easier. But I mean, you know, and I don't know, I wasn't watching Mantle in the 50s or 60s. I know about his greatness, but on a day-to-day basis, was he, Dove, do you know if it was Maris hitting in front of Mantle? Like, who, you know, were there table setters in front of him that he should have had more ribbies? Was it just because he was hurt? Again, I don't know the exact circumstance behind it. But yeah, I mean, I would have been, if you were to ask me, I would have thought at least 10 times. Ton of walks for Mantle as well, just looking over. And I don't want to go down the Mickey Mantle rabbit hole, but point is, Giancarlo was expected to do a lot more than he's done with the Yankees. Marty is in Hoboken. Yeah. What's up, Marty?
Day basis. Well, do you know if it was Maris hitting in
hey,
front
Marty,
of Mantle?
Marty, turn the radio off. What's up, Marty?
Setters in front
of him. Okay, we got to let Marty go there. I wanted to get to Marty, but Marty's not paying attention. And Marty had said that he said I was a Yankee hater, so I was looking forward to having that conversation, but I could talk to myself without having Marty on the other side of the phone there. Eddie is calling from Center Reach. What's up, Eddie?
Yeah, how you doing? I want to talk about Cashman. I've not once have I heard last year when the Yankees went to the World Series, not once did I hear anybody complain about Cashman. He's done a phenomenal job for the Yankees. Phenomenal job. They got rid of LeMahieu. We love that. They really and truly need a third baseman. Let's face it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
Is this news to you? Like, some of us, Eddie, said that they needed a third baseman back in, I don't know, February, March?
Oh, yeah. They needed a third baseman. And I'm not really too keen on Dominguez out there. The other day, he should have caught that fly ball out there.
So what has Cashman done so well?
Kept them right atop the American League East every year. He's consistent every year. Otherwise, he would definitely be fine. They're perfectionists, the Yankees. They want to be great every year, and they don't really go with their young guys. They want to win
Eddie, what do you mean they don't really go with their young guys? They've been going with their young guys quite a bit in recent years. Not only that,
I'm talking about their farm system. They like to trade them and get, no, they don't.
They've kept those guys. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And not only that, you say they're perfectionists. Yeah. They want to win every year. They haven't been to a World Series without Juan Soto last year since 2009. You know how many years that is? For the Yankees?
What about that rookie that pitched the other day? He was throwing 100. That guy pitched great. Okay. That new rookie they got.
What,
he's good.
What about him? I'm confused.
I mean, they need starting pitching, don't they? So it's a step in the right direction right there.
Yeah, Eddie, I'm not sure. You're all over the place, and thank you for the call. I'm not sure exactly what your point is to protect Brian Cashman, but if it's that they expect to win every year and they hold themselves to the highest of standards, I would punch back on that and say they do not. They could hope that that's the case. They have not spent more than anybody else. They have been more cautious of the luxury tax threshold. That's Hal's words, not even mine. They keep referencing that. Whereas in his father's days, you know, George, they would go out there and spend in 2009, the last time the Yankees won the World Series, $50 million more than the next team. And also to say they make it every year, just 2 years ago, they didn't make the postseason. 2 years ago, 2023, they did not make the postseason. They won 82 games, which was their worst season in quite some time. So, now you can say generally every year they win 90 games and make it. It's not every single year. And also the losing in the postseason gets old. And they didn't just lose. In 2022 in the playoffs, they got swept and embarrassed in the American League Championship Series. And their argument is, well, we were in the ALCS. Yeah, and our argument is, well, yeah, you're the Yankees and you weren't even close to the level that you need to be a championship contender. That was 2022. Last year, you saw what happened in the World Series. They got embarrassed in the World Series. The Dodgers punked them. Now, they were there, but they got punked in the World Series. And they lost their, not their best player, but they lost Juan Soto. They tried to bring him back. Not their fault, but they didn't do enough to keep him. Somehow, he left. You could argue if you think that they're better without, but they last year went to the World Series because Juan Soto and Aaron Judge were an all-time combination. And that's no longer there. I mean, we could go on and on over the list. 2021 just barely made the postseason, lost in the wild card. Lost in the division series the year before that in the shortened year, in the pandemic year. Like, you want to say that they're great? You could be okay with that. For me, I think it's, you know, I think it's past time for a change as far as the front office philosophy. But at some point, they're going to have to show us. And they haven't shown us yet. Even getting to the World Series a year ago. Let's see we'll see how this year pans out. But right now, they're neck and neck with two other teams in the American League East, with the Red Sox and Blue Jays right there, where they used to be the team that would blow them away. Nick is in Westchester. What's up, Nick?
How's it going, Sal? I appreciate you taking my call. First time, long time.
Thanks for making it. What's up?
Just wanted to speak on the MLB draft, and I was, as a lifelong Mets fan like you, I am very ticked off with their pick, to be honest. Listen, Mitch Voit, good, but kind of a character issue. You have him doing freaking Coke line celebrations on third base when you have Michael Lombardi. I know they didn't have a second round pick,
but they had
Michael Lombardi,
Nick,
who fell to the Royals, who is an absolute stud pitcher. Absolute stud pitcher. Amazing 12-6 curveball. You don't really get to see that
Nick, these are kids that maybe if you want to call in, like, I respect your passion for it and your insight and your knowledge with it. You can't get worked up about guys who you might not ever see in the big leagues, period. And if you do, like, when these guys you're getting worked up about, when do you expect to see them playing in the big league level?
Two, maybe 3 years. Max three years.
Okay. So then, and then thank you for the call, Nick. Let's talk about it then. Because some of these guys either never see it, you don't see it till 5, 6, 7 years down the road. Like, I'm sorry, I could give two craps less about the MLB draft. Worthless. The names might as well be written in another language that I have no idea. It means nothing to me. I thought it was a cool story was Holiday, the other Holiday, got drafted by the Rockies. Jim Duquette said he was the best player in the draft. He went number 4 overall, so he's going to follow. And, you know, they had a bunch of pictures with him as a kid when his father, Matt Holiday, was a Rocky. So I thought that was a cool story. As far as the Mets and Yankees go, come on, dude. Come on. These are teams that are trying to win a World Series this year. And you think I'm going to worry about who they drafted? Couldn't tell you anything about these guys. And even the people that could tell you about these guys know nothing. You have a hard enough time predicting whether Mark Vientos or Spencer Jones or Alvarez or Lombard, pick a guy, or Volpe, who we heard about forever, then we saw him, now we're watching him for 3 years, he's still not what he was supposed to be. So you're going to get worked up about these guys? Come on, man. The MLB, like, now, prospects is one thing, MLB draft? Oh, put me to sleep. Maybe I should have taken a vacation.